Welcome back to the Psyche Behind the Physique, listeners. I'm Maddie, IFBB Bikini Pro and founder of the Empowered Coaching Collective. And today I am joined by Dr. Kuhn, founder of Elevate Wellness. Dr. Kuhn is one of my personal prized assets in my own health and wellness journey. And I'm so grateful to have an opportunity to share her wealth of knowledge with you all today. Today, we're going to be covering acupuncture, particularly its role beyond pain management and how it aids in overall wellness. I will make sure that her contact is available in the description box below in the event that you're interested in setting up time to meet with her. I would highly recommend her. But without further ado, Dr. Kuhn, I want to give the floor to you. Would you give us a little bit of background on yourself and how you got into acupuncture?
Yeah, hi. So, I got into acupuncture in a previous career. I was a licensed clinical social worker for many, many years. And early on in my career, I was trained to do an ear acupuncture protocol to help people detox from drugs and alcohol. And after seeing the incredible results from that, I had started to refer people pretty consistently for acupuncture and Chinese herbs. So after being in that career for a long time, I got burned out and decided to go back to school and change career. So I got my doctorate in traditional Chinese medicine and have been practicing in this field for about 10 years now.
Wow, that's so cool. I know we haven't known each other for all that long, although I see you every single week, but what a cool story and transition into the field that you're in now. You would have no idea that you did. I mean, I guess you would know. You're pretty comforting, but that's incredible. So I think, I grew up in a family that practiced holistic and natural medicine. Acupuncture was always something I was hesitant and probably resistant to do. I don't love needles. But I grew up always taking Chinese herbs. My body responded super, super well to it. So for our listeners that might be new or just acupuncture might be foreign to them, could you define what acupuncture is in layman's terms and kind of discuss how it works on a physiological level?
Yes, so I think one thing that's important to know up front is that acupuncture is actually just one of the branches of Chinese medicine. So when we are talking about Chinese medicine, this includes acupuncture, herbs, body work, nutrition, and energy movement. So when we're looking at incorporating acupuncture into somebody's treatment, it's the use of acupuncture needles, which are very thin needles, much different than a hypodermic needle when you get blood drawn or anything like that. And when we're using acupuncture from a traditional Chinese medicine perspective, there are pathways throughout our body that help to contribute our overall balance and wellness. And so we can use those acupuncture points to pretty much treat anything. So when we're using those points, a very simple way that we describe it in Chinese medicine is that the acupuncture points are kind of like gateways. And so there's times where the qi flow that is in our bodies may be deficient, so there may not be enough. So, if you imagine like a river that doesn't have enough water and there can be some stagnation because there isn't that movement because of that deficiency, there's times that we're wanting to like nourish and support the body. There's other times where you may have a raging river and it's just kind of wiping everything out. So we're wanting to like close those gates down a little bit more and have a little bit more control. So from that Chinese medicine perspective, we're looking at trying to find that balance of energy flow. From a Western perspective, we're looking at helping to promote a healing response in the body. So that could be decreasing inflammation, releasing natural endorphins to help to manage pain. We may be working with trigger points within the body. So there's a lot of different lenses that we can look at in terms of what acupuncture is doing on that more physiological level.
That's so interesting. So you mentioned like chi flow and like areas to concentrate on. Is there something that you do to, aside from a discussion with the patient, where, for me, I was working with you, I still am working with you with balancing my menstrual cycles and my hormones, to know what areas to target?
Yeah, so a part of what we look at doing with acupuncture is we will feel the pulses. We can look at the tongue. That can give us an indication of where there may be some imbalances that we're wanting to incorporate into treatment. And depending on what we're trying to treat, that can determine where we're going to be putting needles during the appointment. So with working with the menstrual cycle or reproductive health. The other piece that we're wanting to look at is the natural rhythm of a woman's cycle. Where are they in their cycle and what are we wanting to do to support that particular phase? So when I'm working with somebody, I'm collecting a lot of information just from talking with you and getting a sense of what's going on and sort of checking in as we go with the progress to determine what we're needing to do with the treatment week to week.
Okay. Yeah, and we'll talk about that too. I have it kind of planned out for the end of our call, but definitely. I mean, I know that during our sessions, and this is kind of one of the questions that I had for you that I guess I can share a little bit about my experience on is what a typical session looks like. So, speaking on my, on behalf of my own personal experience, one thing that I really love about your practice and I feel like is so unique to your practice is you spend so much time with your patient on the front end. I know that you and I sit down and we, you'll look at my natural cycles and you'll look at my basal body temperature readings and we'll discuss any testing that's been done, whether that's previous lab work or Dutch testing. And then we'll talk about, my biofeedback and my internal response and things going on in my life. And then we go through the acupuncture session where you place the needles, you take my pulse, place the needles, leave the room, and then come back and remove the needles, at that time, and we'll schedule our subsequent appointment. But is that typically a session for people from start to finish, kind of what that looks like?
Yeah, generally it does. The first appointment, I'm taking a much more significant amount of time to go through what's bringing somebody in, going through their full health history, looking at a lot of different symptoms that may seem like it's not related when often it is. And depending on what I'm treating, there's times where I'm going to be incorporating in cupping or gua sha, which is a scraping technique, or moxa or other treatment modalities. So after, talking and checking in, I'm incorporating in whatever those treatment modalities are. And then, yeah, people will rest on the table for usually 20 to 30 minutes, depending on how long it's taken me to do the treatment, and then coming back in, taking the needles out.
Would you, I mean, I might be able, I know that I for sure can speak on one of these things, and that is what is the biggest misconception that people have about acupuncture as we're just kind of explaining to our listeners, how they can better understand the treatment process. I know personally, I think one of the things that I harbored or had as a misconception was that it was going to take a while to actually work. I started with you, and I think it was in a matter of a couple weeks, I had a regular, I had my first cycle. So, I mean, it works very quick. I haven't had necessarily yet, like these like very predictable bleeds, but I definitely have like cycles now. I feel it symptomatically. I feel all the other things. So I'm sure it's just right around the corner. But even when I got sick and I was having respiratory stuff, I mean, it was a matter of days. And with taking herbs and obviously resting, and then the treatment you did, I had turned 180. So I would love if you could speak on, maybe you can answer these in one answer, but misconceptions that people have and how quickly people can start to see results.
Yeah, I would say misconceptions do involve the timing of how long it's going to take. And I find that people fall in one of two camps. They either think it's going to take a really long time, or they think it's going to be one treatment and they're done. And oftentimes, when people are coming to acupuncture, it's a last resort. You know, they've seen all the other doctors, they've seen all the specialists, they have hit a point where they've been told like nothing else is going to help. So by the time they get to me, people are usually frustrated. They've tried everything, huge amounts of time have gone by. And so there's times where if somebody's thinking it's going to be one treatment and I haven't noticed anything different yet, people can give up too quick. Or, people will be surprised at how quickly they will get results. So it can go either way, and a part of it can really just depend on what exactly is going on, how long it's been going on for, and what we're needing to do with the treatment. So response time can really vary. The other misconception I would say is that people don't have an understanding of how much acupuncture can actually treat. So people most often hear about acupuncture for the treatment of pain. People will hear about it for the use of fertility treatments. But I have dialogues with patients all day, every day, where they start asking, like, oh, can acupuncture help with allergies? Can it help with this? Can it help with that? And people are really surprised at how much it can treat. And really, anything you go to a doctor for, we can address with acupuncture and herbs.
Yeah, that was actually one of the topics I really wanted you to speak on, because I think that this is just, an area where there's so much misinformation about acupuncture. Especially, in my industry, I think, acupuncture and cupping in particular, I haven't used acupuncture forever, but cupping is something that I am very, very familiar with, and I have had tremendous results, especially when it comes to, my previous preps as a bikini bodybuilder. And I know in our industry, a lot of people leverage it for pain management. But I remember during that intake that I had with you, discussing with you, like, well, yeah, regulating my menstrual cycles is one of the thing, optimizing my thyroid. I suffer from, seasonal, so I thought scalp psoriasis, and I have had no scalp psoriasis. My cycles are getting regular. It's like all these amazing things that you've really helped me with. And so I think for, women's health, that's one key area, regulating cycles. I'm sure, you also help women, I assume, in menopause. How can acupuncture kind of help with those symptoms?
So when women are going through perimenopause and menopause, there are so many different things that women can experience. We all know hot flashes, night sweats, changes with mood, concentration levels, memory, things like that, body changes, just in terms of how people need to eat and how they exercise and how their body shapes change. So one of the things that we look at doing is using acupuncture and herbs to help to manage the symptoms. So, I would ideally want to get a woman to a place where they are not experiencing hot flashes and night sweats. From a Western medicine perspective, we're told this is a normal part of menopause. And in China and other Asian countries, it is not seen as a normal part of menopause.
Interesting.
It's so interesting. It's such a different mindset. So, we're number one looking at helping to alleviate some of the symptoms that can be so uncomfortable. But then it's also looking at treating the changes that are happening that are leading to perimenopause and menopause occurring. it doesn't, it obviously isn't preventing the physiological changes that are going to occur naturally with, decreases in hormone levels and things like that. But we are looking at trying to really tonify and nourish some of the things that are becoming depleted at that point to like ease that transition so that it isn't as uncomfortable as we are used to experiencing or being told that we should just accept as normal.
Sure. Yeah, I love that. And I love that philosophy. I take that philosophy even with the patients that I work with. It's not about putting a band-aid on symptoms that you're having. Certainly there's things that we can do from supplements and nutrition and functional wellness, right, to alleviate some of the symptoms and make it more manageable, but it's all about getting down to like the root cause, right? We can identify root cause of menopause, but it's about balancing out the body. And as you started speaking, I also thought, and this is something for our listeners too, if they're, I work with a lot of girls who are coming off of birth control, and post-birth control syndrome is something that I'm sure you've experienced, or not, maybe not experienced, I have, but worked with. And this is probably
Yes.
another area that a lot of girls and young girls in particular could really benefit from acupuncture treatment with, in just in terms of allowing and helping the body to recalibrate, getting those systems woken back up. We know that birth control depletes the body of so many key vitamins and nutrients. So really just supporting the body's whole, endocrine function and like I said, opening up detox pathways, allowing the body to eliminate all of the exogenous hormone. How do you work, or do you work with those who have issues with their gut health or even like autoimmune conditions?
So when I'm looking at working with people who have gut issues, part of what I'm looking at doing is first from a Chinese medicine lens is understanding what may be going on that's contributing to whatever those gut issues are. So whether it's somebody experiencing acid reflux, bloating, gas, constipation, IBS, chronic loose stool, things like that, is taking a look at what imbalances may be going on underlying those issues and working on supporting that as well as working with the symptoms and how they're presenting. So I'm usually incorporating in acupuncture and herbs in those situations as well. When there are things going on that, maybe somebody is, kind of hitting a wall, like they're not quite making the progress that we would want to see them make, or we're questioning, are there food sensitivities going on? That's where I'll incorporate in some functional medicine testing to look at food sensitivities, gut health. I may use stool testing, things
Okay.
like that to determine like the big picture of what might be going on so that we can add those pieces into the treatment as well. With autoimmune issues, that can really vary depending on what the autoimmune condition is.
Okay.
So there's times, let's say, for example, somebody who's dealing with thyroid issues from an autoimmune component, we're really looking at trying to support the thyroid, working with the antibodies that the body can develop, using acupuncture and herbs again to support that process, versus like many other autoimmune conditions, it can just really depend on what's happening within the body and what we're needing to do to address the underlying attack on the system as well as the symptoms that the person is presenting with, whether it's managing pain, or what other whatever other symptoms they're experiencing.
Yeah, I remember as a young kid when I was so afraid of doing acupuncture. I wish I wasn't, because I had chronic gut issues even as a young child. And our acupuncturist used to talk to me a lot about my nutrition. And I remember her talking to me about like foods that were associated by Chinese medicine standards with heat versus like cooling foods. Is
Yes.
that something that you work with too, with people who have, I mean, maybe even more than just gut issues, but gut issues?
Yes, absolutely. Really, with many health conditions, we're incorporating in nutrition. And that, as I mentioned earlier, that being one of the branches of Chinese medicine, food is medicine. And we do look at the energetic properties of food, we look at the temperature. So when we're looking at diagnosing through a Chinese medicine lens, we look at every condition as, is this a condition based in heat or cold? Is it an excess? Is it a deficiency? Is it an internal issue, an external issue? So when we're looking at things like, is it hot or cold? We use those properties of the food. If we need to warm somebody's digestive fire up, we're wanting to incorporate in those warming foods and decrease some of the cooling foods. If somebody has too much heat, then we're obviously wanting to look at incorporating in some of those cooling foods, things that may be a little bit more nourishing. So I generally will use nutrition as one of our treatment approaches as well.
That's so interesting. That's so interesting. So, almost kind of like gas and brakes, I guess, in some ways.
Yes.
And then I would also presume that I know that sometimes, like when I'm laying on the bed, you use like I feel like a little egg. It's like a little heat lamp that you pull over my lower abdomen. I don't want to jump the gun and assume, but does that bring heat to the area, much like maybe even like acupuncture does with circulation or some of the scraping that you do, and does that create processes?
Yes. So what I use is an infrared heat lamp. So when we're looking at using the heat lamp on different parts of the body, so for example, with reproductive medicine and looking at regulating the cycle, when we're using heat over the abdomen, we are wanting to warm the uterus. That's one of the reasons that we would use it. It increases qi and blood flow. So those are things that we're wanting to do when we're working with fertility, we're looking at regulating an irregular cycle. There's times I would use it over other parts of the body. If somebody has an injury, I want to use that infrared heat to help stimulate a healing response to whatever body part is injured. There's times I'll use it on somebody's feet, especially if I'm wanting to like ground some energy. I'm working with their nervous system and that kind of thing. So we
Okay.
do always use the placement of the heat lamp with the therapeutic process in mind.
I love that. I was just about to ask, what about like chronic nervous system issues like anxiety and depression? But it sounds like you also work with and treat those things through kind of the same means.
Yes.
I had a thought as we were talking on something, but maybe it will come back to. I remember when I had asked you because you had given me herbs for the scalp situation that I had on my head, and I said, "Are we gonna have to, do acupuncture for this, or do I need to stay on these forever?" And you said, "No, I mean probably one or two bottles, and you'll stop it and see if it comes back. And if it comes back, then we'll have to do, acupuncture for something like that, or whatever have you. We'll have to go internal," was your word. And I love that. The first approach, it's similar to how I work with patients. And the first thing that I do before I go throwing supplements and expensive functional testing at them is let's just go through intake, which is what you do. Let's go through your diet from start to finish. Let's go through your day from start to finish. What do the bookends of your day look like? Do you have anything that brings you joy that you're doing? Like, are you allowing your inner child to play? What does your movement practices look like? All the things. And we move those needles first. Is Chinese medicine similar in that obviously it's a very, I would consider it to be a very minimalist approach. Less is really more, but would you usually say that you first treat externally as much as you can before you go in?
It depends on what I'm treating. So with like a dermatology issue,
Hmm.
we are looking at using, so you mentioned like scalp psoriasis. We will generally treat dermatology issues with an herb externally on the body as well as internally on the body. So when I have somebody coming in, a part of what I'm assessing is how severe is this? And what are all of their treatment goals? And how are we needing to prioritize this? So if it's something that is a little more simple, like what you were experiencing, I do want to use the easiest approach first to see, does this do enough to clear it up? There are more significant skin issues that really require intense internal herbs, and that is a whole other undertaking. And people have to commit to it because that requires pretty strict dietary changes in terms of what they can and cannot eat. And we're looking at using acupuncture as well, but the herbs are a really important part of that process. So, yeah, anytime I'm working with any treatment goal or health issue, I'm really wanting to prioritize what the focus is and making whatever somebody's taking, whether it's an internal herb or supplement or something external, so that it feels doable. People feel like they can sustain it, and it's not so much that the body just doesn't even know how to process it all.
Yeah, because I've definitely seen that too, right? And then what do you know what's really working when you're giving somebody
Right.
so many things? At the end of
Exactly.
the day, right? If you've got a detox pathway problem and you're taking all of these supplements, you're actually making the detox problem worse because your body still has to detox the supplement. So, I totally get what you're saying.
Exactly.
Now I know that you know this about me, and I know that you know I have a Empowered Coaching Collective, and it's evolved over time. I initially began as like just a stereotypical, very run-of-the-mill kind of health and fitness coach, evolved into more contest prep coaching, and then through my experience, really segued into more functional health coaching. How would you say that, like, acupuncture in Chinese medicine? I know that there is some crossover between the work that you and I do because we both do things like functional testing, but how would acupuncture in Chinese medicine complement some of what I do, being it's also nutritional and I also do a lot of like exercise prescription? I write out exercise protocols, I focus on mindset of people. Changing and reframing mindset. How would you say they kind of complement one another, at least in your practice?
I would say, just in terms of how, not just how I practice, but I would say how anyone practices, is that we can't be everything to everyone. And, when I'm looking at incorporating in any kind of testing, whether it's regular labs or functional medicine, is that there's only so much that I can incorporate in with my patients. Whereas other people who can do like that deeper dive and can really get more into like the nutritional planning, exercise plans, like I feel like those things are really key because, again, when we're looking at holistic health and really truly living in a preventative way, we have to address movement. We have to address diet and what we're putting in our bodies, having people on board that can support these different components and knowing that we can all work integratively as a team. So anytime I can bring others on board to support a patient and, to do a deeper dive in one direction or another, like that's only going to add to a patient's success down the road. So I do feel like it's really critical.
Yeah, I do a lot of work right now with girls who have lost their menstrual cycle, as well as girls who are trying to get off birth control, and then women, shouldn't say girls, but women who also struggle with infertility. And so acupuncture is 99.9% of the time always included in their plan of care, because I think something that a lot of people don't realize is that acupuncture is, for the most part, I mean, maybe not for the most part, hasn't always been covered by me, but I got this time, my acupuncture was covered by my insurance. So it's
Right.
actually very affordable.
Yes. And that's something that, depending on what state somebody's in, there are more and more plans that are incorporating acupuncture in as one of the benefits. And I do know, like in California, where I used to practice, it's considered an essential healthcare benefit. So all insurance
Wow.
companies have to cover it, including Medi-Cal, which is the Medicaid of California.
Wow, that's really awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
That's really cool. Would you, for the patients that you work with, I one of the questions that I had for you as I discuss with our listeners, the integration of functional medicine and Chinese medicine, which I think are kind of synonymous in many ways, but is there specific scenarios in which you would encourage someone that might work with me to also work with an acupuncturist or vice versa? Is there maybe specific scenarios where you don't think that that's warranted?
I think that, so you're asking when would it not be warranted to
Yeah,
work with both?
I guess maybe not so much not warranted. I think I would be, at this point, I'm such an advocate for acupuncture and even not just acupuncture, but Chinese medicine. You even have that biomat that I think there was no way, as for our listeners, this is a little side tangent. There was no way that day I was going to fall asleep. I passed out on that mat. So, just in terms of, I was sick as heck and I can't even believe it, but I legitimately just zonked on that thing. But would you say that for the most part, this is in your, if someone can afford it, this is a comprehensive plan of care, is having
Yes.
someone that's a holistic practitioner that might focus a little bit more on the movement nutrition components, and then someone else who focuses more on, internal medicine and Chinese medicine.
Yes. Yeah, 100%. I feel like in general, incorporating each of those perspectives is going to help patients, because I think one of the things that I see is a little bit of a barriers when people are willing to do just one piece of whatever it is, and they're not willing to, not able to incorporate those different lenses that can really treat them in a more integrative way. Because I do feel like most of the time it requires changes across the board. So like, for example, I have seen where people that I'm working with, like we may make some progress and then we kind of keep hitting these same areas that they get stuck in, or that something's not shifting. And just using that digestive issues as an example, when we look at like what are they putting in their body, and they may be dealing with a really busy schedule because of work, kids, family, whatever. And that's not an area that I have the specialization in, of giving somebody a nutrition plan. Like, we can talk about changes from a Chinese medicine perspective of things to incorporate in or things to avoid, but like, I'm not getting into the weeds with them about it. Whereas
For
if I
sure.
can refer to somebody who can do that, who can help them figure out those details, they can figure out the kind of movement they need for their body based on what's going on for them at that time,
Well, and for someone
that
like
is an asset.
that too, when you started talking about, I could picture it, you know, the busy mom who's a workaholic, who probably skips meals, chronically undereats. Maybe she's going to Barry's boot camp every day. You know, it's like she has no idea what she's doing to, you know, to damage to her whole nervous system. We know the connection between the gut and the brain. And so I can totally see this, like the writing on the wall. It's She comes in to see you. She's making progress, but you're continuing to hit these walls. And it's like, yeah, but I'm not the person to tell you, you need to move your body this way for a set period of time, and we need to reverse diet you, or whatever have you. You could probably tell her that, but she's not going to know where to go or how to do
Right.
it.
Exactly.
And I also have a great appreciation for the fact that you just said, you know, there's people that just kind of want to do a component. And I empathize with the women that only do a component, because I actually think you put yourself in a position to ultimately spend a lot more money and a lot more time getting to your end goal. Because I see this a lot. I'll have women who come on and say, yeah, but I've got the exercise portion down. I just want your help with nutrition. And it's like, you can't ask me, you know, to cook the pasta and then not make a red sauce for it. You know, it's like the two really do go hand in hand here.
Right.
So I definitely think that, yeah, absolutely. You can't have too many, you know, you can't have too many cooks in the kitchen, but to have two cooks or three cooks that complement one another and can really provide a comprehensive plan of care is so beneficial. As I'm kind of wrapping up this call and closing the call up, I had a couple questions for you. I have one more question on the integration of functional medicine and acupuncture, and then some personal questions for you. But my final question for this little segment of the podcast is acupuncture something that, like, for right now, I'm seeing you every single week? At some point, I anticipate we won't check in as frequently with treatment. So how do you know when to kind of push and pull back? I think it's kind of obvious, like you'll start to see symptom improvement, but with people that are in so-called maintenance, in my practice, I check in with them once every other week or once every 3 weeks when they go to maintenance. What is your protocol for that?
So that can depend on what I'm treating. So when I'm looking at, just as an example, somebody where we're working with regulating the menstrual cycle and we're going from once a week, then I may go to twice a month, but we may target particular weeks of their cycle depending on what the issue is. So it could be every other week, it could be 2 weeks in a row and then 2 weeks off. And then looking at once a month and then, spreading it out from there. If somebody is coming in for pain, I want to see that somebody's getting from one appointment to the next without the pain ramping back up, that we're making progress. And then we start spreading it further and further apart and seeing that that progress can get maintained. And I have some people who come in just as needed. Something pops up, we can do like a little treatment to fine-tune things. I have some people who come in seasonally. So, literally as like you have summer turning into fall, fall turning into winter, times that we might want to work with the immune system or when people are prone to allergies. Things like that, that they may come in preventatively during those seasonal changes.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess kind of similar to someone who's in a health and fitness program, because I work with competitors that are pretty much year round. And then I work with people who maybe are getting ready for a wedding or, you know, postpartum, things like that.
Exactly.
So in your own personal life, wrapping up here with some personal questions, what are your like top two, maybe your top three non-negotiables for maintaining good health and avoiding illness?
So for me, exercise is critical. I feel like I have to move my body regularly to really maintain optimal health in every way, physically, mentally, emotionally.
For sure, yeah.
And I am generally incorporating herbs and supplements in pretty regularly. So, with working with patients all day, every day, having people come in who are dealing with various illnesses, I need my immune system to be strong. So I will incorporate herbs in preventatively, as well as if I'm exposed to something, I'm going to take herbs to just, knock anything out. So those are things that I really make sure that I'm staying on top of, no matter what's going on.
Okay. Yeah, I would say the same. I mean, I have people, a lot of my patients will ask me, "Do you always take supplements?" I'm like, "Yeah, I can't." Honestly, since middle school, I started taking supplements in the sixth grade, and at that time it was obviously very different than what I take now, but I mean, I can't. We unfortunately, in today's day and age, and in America, I think, we definitely need supplements to support our body just because the quality of our food is just not the same as other countries.
Exactly.
What? So, there might be some bleed over here because I asked about non-negotiables, but is there any sort of daily habits or lifestyle practices? I think I'm referring more to like nervous system management and things like that, that you swear by for longevity and vitality. Maybe things that you have your clients do.
I think a lot of this is about self-care practices and sleep hygiene, things like that, that are really important to be able to reset the nervous system on a regular basis. So, for some people, that could be the use of meditation or journaling or, recommending therapy for people. Exercise, I think, can be really important. But really looking at like where are people feeling fulfilled, making time for social connections, making time for self-care, like getting to the appointments that they need for self-care, and doing movement practices that match what somebody needs. So if somebody struggles with anxiety, doing things like yoga, meditation. If somebody's dealing with depression and they really struggle with like fatigue or lack of motivation, is having exercise that's gonna help give them a little bit more energy, something that's gonna push them a little bit more versus dial them down.
Yeah, absolutely. So like matching that, I'm 100% in agreement with that. I talk to people every single day and I think they're surprised when I tell them I'm not just going to give them a 5 day a week workout split. Like I have everything in there from walking activations and meditations for people that can't sit there and meditate, to EFT tapping things and all the different resources. I'm big on bookends of your day. How you start your day? Do you start it in fight or flight? And then, how you wind yourself down at night. I have no TV in the bedroom. I have white noise. You emulate and create that cave-like environment. I turn my thermostat down by a couple degrees, and all of that makes a huge difference. And then I love that you also mentioned like, play and like creativity. That's one of the questions I have in my intake forms because, so often we grow up and then our inner child just we kick her to the wayside. So
Right.
I really appreciate you sharing that. And I love this call. I love your, all of your insight and all of your wisdom. And I'm so grateful that I had a chance to speak with you tonight. I actually think I see you on Friday, I think. So in 2 days.
Wonderful.
But as we wrap up here, do you have anything that you would like to share before I kind of close out our podcast?
I would just thank you for having me on here. I think that it's nice to hear a little bit more about what you do too, and thinking about how we can collaborate moving forward.
Yeah, no, I would absolutely love that. I'm genuinely just so inspired by you, and I'm so grateful too for the role that you've had in my own journey and continue to have. So, thank you all listeners for joining us, and thank you for your time, Dr. Kuhn. You are truly such a gift, and I know personally I've gained a lot from our time together, both on and off the mic. Listeners, thank you for tuning into this week's episode of The Psyche Behind the Physique. You all know what to do. Stay tuned for new episodes releasing every other Saturday. To connect with me and the Empowered Coaching Collective for a one-on-one with coaching, or to connect with Dr. Kuhn, you can visit the links in the description box below. Be kind to one another this week, and don't forget to include yourself in that mix. I'll see you guys in just 2 weeks.